With that said, we're starting our new series today. It's called Faith. If you haven't met her yet, she's right up here on the front row. And a different faith. Okay. Faith. I think that when we say faith, if you've been a Christ follower, by the way, I've got a 45 minutes lesson I need to do in 27. So we'll see how this works out. Okay, but when we talk about faith, what we're talking about, I think, if you've been a Christ follower for any length of time, you've been taught about faith. A lot of said in the Bible about faith. You've been to classes maybe about faith. You've read books about faith. You've listened to tapes and teachings about faith. And what they basically encourage you to do is kind of grit your teeth and grunt real hard and build up your faith. You know, like they teach it kind of like weightlifting, right? And you build up your faith muscles. And so you believe harder and you believe better and you believe more and you get your emotions stirred up so that you can have faith. And really what we're ended up doing is just having faith in our faith. Am I right? And what I want to do in our series, and specifically today, is help us get a fresh look at Bible faith. At the faith that Jesus operated in. At the faith that we really read about in the Bible, a fresh look and a fresh idea about it. And I think I'm going to be able to do that for you. And then also, I want to add just... See, I think people think they expect too much from life. I think people have an idea and an attitude that I'm asking too much. I'm expecting too much from life. Well, see, I want to tell you, that's not right. You don't expect enough out of life. I think we should get a whole lot more than any of us ever get out of life. That's what I read in the Bible. I read where God says that Jesus came to give men an abundant life, a life that's fully filled and even running over. I haven't gotten there yet. Right? And I think if we were all honest, that we would all say, I would like more. Does anyone want less? No. So you see, then what we do and the reason that we never experience all that we can and live our destinies and experience that full life that Jesus came to give us is because I think we never tap into, a reason if not the reason, is we never tap into, never get a handle on faith. So we want to look at this today, and I'm going to be talking to you about the faith of God. Now, let me show you what I'm saying here. Jesus one day was going with his guys. They were just doing life, heading for Jerusalem. And they walked by this fig tree. And this fig tree is non-productive. And Jesus does something just really kind of out there. He curses this fig tree. And this fig tree responds. It dries up and dies. Right there. Whoa. And this fascinates those guys. And so they begin questioning him about that, quizzing him. Why does this happen? Why does stuff respond to you like this? His answer is this. Faith in God, or better put, and this is where I want to go today, faith of God. Now, let me show you. Let me read you the scripture where that's recorded. And so you'll have the reference. It's in Mark 11, 22. New International Version says, have faith in God. Now, I want to read you this one. It's from the Revised Young's Literal Translation by Robert Young. I put there so that you wouldn't think I was trying to pull something on you, coming out with my own translation. No, this one was written in 1800s. It's been around a long time. It's a literal translation. In other words, where they take the Greek or the Hebrew and they try to take that specific word and then make it English so that we can understand it. So here's what that says, that translation says. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith of God. There's a big difference in faith in God and faith of God. And I want to talk about that in just a second. But before I do, let me show you this in the literal Greek. Let me show you this one. There's the literal Greek writing of it. And then here, if you notice, it's three words in the literal Greek. And what it really says is have faith in God. Now, we know it's not telling God to have faith, right? So, it's have faith God. Now, in or of is really not in it. But when you look at contextually, you look at the context of what's being said here, I think all of us can have faith in God, that God can do anything. God can certainly speak to a tree, and it would dry up and die, or move a mountain if he said so. Or God could do anything. You know, there's nothing God can't do. We can have faith in God. That's no problem. But when we get into the faith of God, now that's a whole nother world. What that is really saying is God has faith in me. And what God does is believe through me. If I said it this way, use me, God, and we say, I want to be used of the Lord, that's okay. We can handle that. But if I want to say, I want God to believe through me, that's a different animal there. Now, what I want us to get a handle on this, because every single person is going to relate to this today. Now, how many of us, and everybody's hand should be raised when I get done here, how many of us have ever been just going through life, maybe driving the car, or working in the yard, or working in the house, or shopping, or just doing life, just doing what we do, and bam, a thought, an idea, a dream just comes, boom, from nowhere. You weren't thinking about it. You weren't doing anything connected with it. It's just, boom, there it is. And you said, well, I'm not going to say, first of all, I'll say it correctly, and then I'll say what you said. You said, or you thought, from where did that come? What you really said, where'd that come from? Right? And you did. How many has ever done that? How many has ever done it? Okay, that's I think that's got us. Where did it come? What was that? Now, if it was a good thought, I think we've all had some that we knew where it came from. But if it was a good thought that was good for you or good for somebody or good for your family, where did it come from? What it was God trying to put His faith in you, deposit a seed of faith, so that you can experience something. It was something, the thought was something like this. It was something that was wow. You know, whoa, that's wild. That's out there. It was something that gave you energy. It was something that gave you hope. It was something that you would really like to do or really like enjoy experiencing. It was that kind of a thing. And then what happened is your mind came into play, and your mind says, you idiot, that's never going to happen. You can't talk about that. You tell somebody that, they'll say, you're a fool. You're too old. You're too young. You can't do that. And your mind reasons it away on you, and you miss an opportunity to experience something God was trying to deposit in. And we've all done it. So this is what I'm going to talk about today, okay? Now, I want us to understand that Jesus did this. This is how Jesus operated and how He lived His life. And I want us to see this. In John chapter 5 and verse 19, it says here, I tell you the truth. Jesus isn't tricking us. He's not trying to fool us. I tell you the truth. It's a verily, verily in King James. I tell you the truth. The Son of God can do what? Nothing. Say nothing. You need to get this. Can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And then in John 8:28, it says this. So Jesus said, I do what? Nothing on my own, but say just or only what the Father has taught me. Now, how did this work? I'm going to tell you how it worked, and I'm going to show you. Jesus would be just doing life, just walking, doing stuff, and boom, thought comes, an idea comes, a dream comes. Inside, not here, but here. You know it wasn't here because when you had it, because you weren't thinking, it wasn't from your mind, you weren't doing anything, you weren't thinking anything, you weren't praying, you weren't trying to be spiritual or anything, just boom, there it was. And Jesus and would be doing stuff, and boom, this thought would come. And He knew what it was. He understood that it was Father showing Him something, or it was Father telling Him something, and then He would move on it, and wild, crazy things would happen. Let me give you an example. One day, He and His disciples were just cruising, just riding around. and they're going through town, and there's this guy, and he's blind. He's been blind from birth, the Bible says. And His disciples pick up on Him, and they say, why is this guy blind? Is it because He sinned? Or is it because His parents sinned? Why is he blind? And Jesus says, He's not blind because of sin. He's blind to show the glory of God. In other words, so God can show off. And God's going to use me to show off. And do you know what He did? Now, you're talking about wild and out there. I'm gonna get... Some of you are going to say, ooh. Jesus went... He got enough of it to reach down, get some dirt, and to mix it up. And what did he do with this? What did he do? You know what he did. What did he do? Put it on the guy's eyes, right? So he said, go wash your eyes. And the guy went and washed his eyes, and he could see. Now, if Jesus did nothing except he saw his father do it, and said nothing except he saw his father say it, from where? Where'd that come from? God showed it to him. Hey, let's heal this guy. Boom. This is how it works. And what I want us to get a hold of today, yeah, some of the craziest things come into our heart, but it's so that we can understand and experience our destiny. Let me read to you just a little bit more of that Mark 11, 22 passage. I want to show you this. In Mark 11, 22, I'm reading from again, the Revised Young's Literal. And it says here, "And Jesus answering said to them, have faith of God. For verily, I say to you, that whoever may say to this mount, be taken up and be cast into the sea," and here's what I want us to get, "and may not doubt in what?" They may not doubt in his heart. Don't doubt from where it came. Don't doubt from within. Don't doubt the place that this is. Don't doubt from where you saw it. Don't doubt in your heart. If you won't doubt in your heart, Jesus says, but may believe that the things that he says do come to pass, it shall be to him whatever he may say. Something came out from inside, out of the heart, out of the spirit. Jesus would see it. You would see it. Be good. But then we allow the mind to come in. Now, of course, the mount here, the mountain, in other translations, the mount is symbolic. And what it represents is this obstacle in front of us, this huge, seemingly immovable thing, impossible thing to get beyond, this mountain, this huge problem that's keeping me from fulfilling my destiny. Jesus says, if you have the faith of God, then you can handle this obstacle. You can get beyond this obstacle. This obstacle will be removed for you. Faith of God is when you believe God will do something huge, something seemingly impossible for you. Faith of God is when you are stretched by God because of your belief in Him. And you start believing, and you start saying, and you start doing crazy things. If you will, it's crazy faith. It's like you talk to disease. A person has cancer and you command the cancer, you curse the cancer at its roots, and you command it to dry up and die like he did that fig tree. It's like you see somebody that's demon possessed and you command demons to come out of them. You do crazy things like Jesus. And not a lot of people live in crazy faith. Not a lot of people go there. But Jesus did. Jesus lived there. And he's inviting you and me to come there too. And he's saying, if you will, you're going to move mountains for yourself. You're going to move mountains for others. You're going to experience a supernatural life that you could never dream of and never experience. Jesus says, come on, let's give it a shot. Let's try it. Years ago, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him, but she's here today. Years ago, there was a car crash. And I was in my office studying when I got the phone call about the car crash. And when I get these things, I'm going to try to tell you how I operate in my personality. When I'm into something, when I'm in my zone, I don't like to be disturbed. And so my mind was saying when I got the call that the car crash had happened and she'd been taken to the hospital, my mind was saying, you can call, you can pray just as well here as you can pray there. You can, you can stay in touch. Just do what you do. But that was here. That was my mind. But my heart and my spirit was saying, go to the hospital now. Okay. So what do you do? You go to the hospital. And so I got there, and she was in the operating room. And I got there, and her dad and mom and family was there. And so they tell me what's going on. And it didn't sound good to start with. But nobody really had all the details at that time. So there was a little room off to the side, and I went over to the little room, and she kind of pushed the door to and just knelt and prayed. And when I knelt and prayed, my mind was saying life and health and healing, but what I saw was something totally opposite. What I saw and knew was the Lord, because it wasn't what my mind wanted. It was what I was seeing was the total opposite of life and healing. It was bad. And I said, oh God, no. And I began to cry out to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Delbert, if you will pray, and if you'll come to this hospital regularly, as much as you can, daily if possible, and pray and speak over her and lay hands on her, I'll heal her. And she'll raise. She'll rise up. So as I got up and went out, as I remember it, and this is how I remember it, I went in back into the room where the family was, and about that time the doctor came in. And he came in, the surgeon, and he was full of horrible news, hopeless news. Said they had opened her up, found out that in the accident, evidently she must have hit the steering wheel, and her liver was terminally damaged. And they could do nothing. And what they would do is they just, I guess, put gauze or whatever they would do into her and sewed her up. Said they had paralyzed her body to keep her, basically what he was saying is we paralyzed her to keep her from hurting so that she'll stay unconscious until the end comes. Of course, her dad was beside himself, just a real basket case. Who wouldn't be, you know, your dad is your baby, you know. And you're having a hard time here. But he couldn't pray. I could. And so I did. And I prayed every day. And I went to see her just about every day. And I did what the Lord, I felt the Lord said. And as I'm jumping apart here. So I told the family right then after the doctor left. I said, listen, I know that's what he said. I said, here's what the Lord told me. Here's what I believe is going to happen. And now you got to realize what your mind is saying to you while you're saying this. The doctor, this trained surgeon, has just said, listen, here's what's going to happen. And I'm out there saying, no, it's not. God said, he's going to raise her up. God said, if I would pray, God said, if we would pray, God said, if we would believe, that he would raise her up. So I told him what I felt. And so we did. We prayed. They prayed. Everybody was praying. And God did, and she did, and she's here today, and she's a nurse, and now she's blessing other people, and she's living a very productive life. Now, I said that to say this. It wasn't my faith. I didn't grunt, I got to have faith. I didn't say, Lord, I got to believe better. I got to believe more. I didn't get emotional and say, woo, talking. I didn't do all that stuff. What I did was go with what I believe God showed me. And it was, that's faith of God. That's letting God believe through me to move a mountain for somebody. That's letting God move through me to do something that God wants done. That's faith of God. Now, here's how the faith of God works out in our lives. From seemingly nowhere, and I want to say this several times so we'll get it, bang, bang. So the next time it happens to you, you'll say, whoa, that could be God. But bang, it comes. And it's a thought that gives you energy. It's a thought that whoa, I'd like to do that. It's a thought that, man, this is good. And immediately, your mind comes in. It starts rationalizing why this can't happen. You're too old. You're too young. You've done too many bad things. God would never do this for you. You've messed up too much. Who are you? And he gives you all of these, the mind gives you all of these things. And what I want to get in this point is I want you to see that your mind will rob you of your destiny. Your mind will talk you out of what God's trying to do to bless you. Now I want to show you this because this is extremely important, because what we've got to learn how to do is shut down the mind. We've got to turn off our mind and do what we need to do to just get with God and let him talk to us and listen from within and not from here. Let me read this to you. It's in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. The sinful mind, or the unbelieving mind, the sinful mind is hostile to God. Hostile means contrary, means opposite, or opposition, means enemy. The King James Bible says enmity. It's enmity to God. It's against God. And it goes on to say, it does not submit to God's laws or God's way, nor can it do so. God cannot work. God cannot do anything great through an unbelieving mind. Jesus went to his own hometown His own hometown. People he loved, people he cared for, he wanted to do some things for them. He goes to his own hometown. And the Bible clearly says that he could do no major works because of their unbelief. He wanted to. He really, but he couldn't because of their unbelief. And we've got to learn how to shut down that mind, because it's from your mind unbelief comes. If you're listening to God, he's going to say you can. Your mind's going to always say you can't. But God wants us to move in this. And a tip off of if it's the mind coming against you is your mind says you can't do it. Your mind says, no way. Well, have you ever heard God say he couldn't? Have you ever heard God say, I can't do that? That's too much for me. No, what he says is, the Lord is anything too hard. There is no thing too hard for the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And concerning you and me, what he says is, you're well able. You're well able. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Well, what the Lord God says about you and me is, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God says, you can do it. You're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You can do it. But your mind says you can't. And when your mind says you can't, you're on a good track. This could be God. God speaks to us from within. Within our hearts, within our spirits. Speaks to us from within. And we see or we hear something that's usually way out there. Unbelievable and impossible to happen. Our mind immediately comes and begins. Always. Your mind will always come immediately and try to talk you out of it. And now what I want to do here is I want to show you this in action in the Scriptures of stories that we're all familiar with and how we've always seen this work in the Bible. We know these stories that I'm going to be relaying to you. In the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, there's a chapter. It's chapter 11. And it's called the Hall of Faith. Not Hall of Fame, Hall of Faith. And what the Bible does there is it lists all of these people. And it says that by faith, this faith that I'm telling you about, the faith of God, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Moses, by faith everybody. You know what they did by faith, by the faith of God. And what I wanted to do was show you some of these and show you how it works through with stories that you're very aware of. And the first one I want to talk about is Noah. And here it's in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen. Now, something was about to happen that had never happened before. No one had ever seen before. And tools and instruments and things were going to be happening. There's no way to understand it. I mean, get the idea. Now, the Bible talks about how wicked the world was, that the sons of God were coming upon the daughters of men, and they were creating these Nephilims, these giants in the earth, and how men's minds and thoughts were only evil continually. This is the world in which Noah lived, kind of like today. But anyway, he's just doing his life. He's just going through life. Doesn't say he was seeking God. Doesn't say he was praying or entreating the Lord for anything. Just says he was doing life. And bam! Noah. Build an ark. What's an ark? It's going to rain. Excuse me? What's rain? Build this boat, this ark. 150, 40 cubits, you know? And I'm going to send animals by sevens and by twos. Get that part, because most people just think it's two. Sevens and twos. I'm going to send these animals. And they're going to come, and they're going to get on this ark. Now, you got to realize, you got to know that Noah's saying, "Do what? You're going to send what? It's going to do what?" his mind would have to have fought with him, but he did it, and because he did it by faith to Noah, because he did it. He saved himself, he saved his family, and he saved humanity. You and I are here because Noah, by faith, built that thing. As crazy as it was, and you can look at any of those guys in Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll see the same principle working over and over and over. Anybody in the Bible that you see that moved by faith, that did something dynamic, that did their destiny, you find that this happened in their lives. And they walked in this, and they lived in this. Now, let me use another one. Let's use Abraham. Now, one of the things the enemy will tell you is you're too young or you're too old. That's another thing that the enemy will say. Well, Abraham was 75 years old, and his wife is 65 years old. And they were living in a city called Haran, a walled city, had a house, doing pretty well in life. Abraham just doing life, just chilling. God speaks to him. Boom. From where'd that come? And hey, Abraham, I want you to move. Okay, where we're going? Where we're going? I'll show you when you get there. Huh? Just start walking. Just take off. I'll show you when you get there. Let me show you the scripture. Put it up there for me. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, he went. He's 75 years old. And God says, Abraham, go. Now, can you imagine him trying to explain to his wife, Sarah? Hey, I think God talked to me today. Yeah, what did he say? So you're going to move. Move where? I don't know yet. We're just going to go. Where are we going to go? I don't know. Abram, I go on the corner, I got my pharmacy there, and I get all my medications there, and I go down to the shop right, and I get my steaks. Abram, I don't want it. But he went. And God said, Abram, if you'll do it, I'll make you great. I'll make you so wealthy. It's unbelievable. I'll make your name great. I'll tell you what I'll do, Abram. I'll give you descendants as you, and there'll be more than the stars, more than the stars of the sky, or more than the sand of the sea. And by the way, Abram, I'll really do something great for you if you'll go. I'll give you the desire of your heart. I'll give you a child. Child Isaac. I'll give you your desires of your heart. He went. God did. Abraham did. Because of faith. Faith of God. Hearing something from God and responding to it. I want to give you one more. All of them are this way that you look at. But this one really shows us how the enemy comes against the mind of us when we're dealing here. The Moses. The Bible tells us a lot about Moses. It uses two or three times about Moses. By faith, Moses. By faith, Moses. You know the story of Moses. Put in this little thing and floated down the river. Pharaoh's daughter. He, by faith, he decided he didn't want to live that way. And he came out. And you know the story. And anyway, he ends up doing life. Just doing life, keeping Jethro's flock, his father-in-law's sheep and cattle. He's just doing life, just doing what we do when we hear bam. And he's just walking along one day, and he looks up on this mountain, and there's this bush that's just burning. It won't go out. It just keeps burning. He says, that's cool. I'm going to check that out. He's not praying. He's not entreating the Lord. He's not getting emotional. He's not getting all stirred up about this thing. He's just saying, wow, that's cool. And he goes up there, no idea what's about to happen. And bam, oh boy, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. And he does, and the Lord begins to speak to him. Basically says this to him. You see that stick you got? I want you to take that stick to the most powerful man in the whole world and tell him to let my people go. Now, the Bible tells us exactly what Moses' mind said to him. Moses said, I can't do that. Who am I? Who am I to go to Pharaoh? And they're not going to believe me. His mind says, Moses, they're not going to believe you. Who do you think you are? They're not going to believe you. They're going to ask you who sent you. And you're going to say, God. Moses, come on, Moses. Get it right, man. They're not going to believe you. They're not going to. And by the way, Moses, don't forget, man, you've got this speech problem. You can't talk very well. You've always had difficulty communicating. And now you're going to go tell Pharaoh to let your people go. Come on, Moses. And don't forget, Moses. Hey. You killed that Egyptian. You sinned. God can't use you. So what I'm wanting us to see in all of this is their mind comes against you. It tries to rationalize why you can't. And God's all the time saying, yes, you can. And if we will just listen to the faith of God, God's constantly trying to put faith in us. He's constantly trying to give us new dreams, new visions, new thoughts. He's coming. And it's crazy faith. It'll cause you to do crazy things and act crazy ways and say crazy things. But you've got to learn to shut the mind off and just listen to God. And you say, well, Delbert, you know, I that's happened to me. But there's just no way out there. And besides, I'm having all these problems in my life right now. I can't go off like that. I'm already having all this problems. Well, let me tell you something. You probably have trouble in your finances. You probably maybe have trouble in your marriage. You probably hate your job. You probably are doing all this difficult. You're going through something in life. We all are going through something all the time. But I want to say something to you. Before you ever had the problem, God had the solution. Before it ever happened, God's got the way out. But the way out is faith of God. You know God can. That's faith in God. What God wants to do is faith of God through you, show you how, and tell you how to get out of it. That's the faith of God. We all have our heart's desires. We all have things we want in life. Let me ask you this. Don't raise your hand yet, but how many of you believe, you really believe, that God wants you to prosper? God wants you to be in good health. God wants you to have a great occupation that you love to get out of bed to go to and work and spend that time there. How many of you believe that God wants you to have a great marriage, a fulfilling marriage, a satisfying marriage? How many of you really believe that God wants your children to prosper? He wants your family to do well. He wants everything to go well in your life. How many of you really believe God loves you and is crazy about you and wants the very best for you and for your family? Would you raise your hand if you really believe that? Okay, that's the first step in understanding the faith of God. Because you would be amazed at how many people pray this kind of prayer. If it's your will, Lord. If you have, maybe you prayed it. Don't! It is His will. Show me in your Bible or any Bible where it's not God's will to heal you. Show me where it's not God's will to prosper you. Show me in your Bible or anybody's Bible where God doesn't want your children blessed and doesn't want you to have your cup running over with good things. Show me. Do you love your children? Do you want your children to have the very best life possible? Great marriages, great occupations. Do you? It's like faith. Sure you do, and so does God. Where am I? Who am I? What am I doing here? Lifegate Church. Lifegate Church came from faith of God. When I came to this city, there was no successful, there were some groups, there was no successful non-denominational church. So, what happened here? Why is Lifegate here? Faith of God. I believed through a series of events that the Lord spoke to me in here and told me, don't leave this city. Stay here. I'll put you here. And if you'll stay, Delbert, I will bless you. You'll prosper. I'll bless your family. And I'll make you successful. I believe God said that to me. And so I did, and He did. Now, you can't imagine what my mind was saying to me. My mind was saying something like this. Delbert, this is just a little bitty town. And listen, if you're going to try this, why don't you go to a bigger city and try it at least? You know? If you really want to give this a shot. Delbert, you're going to fail. Look at all these that's already tried. The non-denominational doesn't work around here. You need to be a Baptist. Whatever, you know. Forgive me, Lord. It's one of those things, you know, you wish you... that's what my mind was telling me. You're going to fail. They're going to laugh at you. They're already talking about you. Just imagine what they're going to say when this... But I did. I stayed. And God did what He said. It works that way. It comes from within. It's not in your mind. Your mind will talk you out of what God has for you. God is constantly, always trying to deposit new things and new thoughts and new seeds into our life. And He wants to give us the desires of our hearts. There was a woman, she was here last week, but they live out of town now, and so she doesn't get to come. But anyway, she was here at this time, and I preached a message on Hannah. Hannah was Samuel's mother, and Hannah couldn't conceive. Hannah wanted a baby so badly, it was a desire of her heart. And I preached that message about how Hannah went before the Lord. The Lord spoke to her, and then she went and she conceived. Well, she came to Judy and I later, and she says, if God would do that for Hannah, wouldn't God do that for me? And I want to ask you, if God would do it for somebody else, would He not do it for you? If God would do that for Hannah, would He not do that for me? And of course, Judy and I said, of course He will. And we prayed for her. And she not only, about a couple of months later, she not only conceived and had a baby, but she did it again and again and again. They had to stop wanting babies. Now, I said that to say this. I said that she was taking fertility pills. She was doing all the things the mind was throwing at her. None of it was working. But she heard something that day, and I'm hoping you're hearing something today. She heard something in that message that spoke to her inside. Not in here, but in here. And she began to move on it. And she got the desires of her heart. There's a man here in our church. He's a leader, a dear friend of mine. Been with me since day one. And again, I was preaching a message. And this Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. And it was a message about generations and how God wants to leave generations through us. And he got upset with me. I hurt him with the message. And he called me and he said, can I come to your house and talk to you? I said, sure. I said, okay. And we sat down in our den and Judy and I, was he and his wife, and we were talking about it. And he was telling me, and I didn't know that the doctors had told him that he could not have children. Didn't know. Sometimes it's better not to know stuff so you can just preach and let God show off, you know. But I didn't know. And I said, well, man, it's the Word. I, you know, can't take the Word back. but let's believe together that you will be able to have children. Well, about a month later, guess who's pregnant? Ah! Why? Not because of my faith, but because of his faith. Because that message spoke something inside of him and said, listen, I want to have babies. I will have babies. And it rose up inside of him, and he began to see that and do that. And this is what I'm wanting us to see. Now they have a beautiful 19-year-old child. And this is what faith of God is. It's when, bam, something from nowhere comes. You're not thinking it. It energizes you, though. And you know you would love to do it. But immediately your mind comes and tries to talk you out of it and get it away from you and try to steal it away from you. What you've got to come to the place of saying is, I've taken all the fertility pills the world has to offer. It's not working. I'm listening to my mind. It's not working. I want to have faith of God. I want to receive the pill, the seed of faith, the faith of God into my spirit today. And then you make a declaration and you say something like this, Lord, I know it sounds crazy. I know it looks crazy. I know people are going to call me nut. But Lord, I don't care. I would rather be called a nut and be blessed than to sound like I'm smart and be dumb. Now this is what the Lord says. Now, I want you, Lord, I want to be a candidate for your faith. I want to be a candidate for you to believe through me. I want to be a candidate for the faith of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Father, I believe it hit home. I believe it ministered to every single person here. And Lord, my prayer is that every person will come to a realization of realizing that you've tried to talk to them, and we've allowed our mind to talk us out of it. Heads bowed and eyes closed, you along with me would say, wow, I probably have missed God on several occasions. But I'm not going to do it anymore. And from now on, when I get a bam thought, I'm going to allow God to speak through me further. I'm going to shut my mind down. And I'm going to listen to what God has to say to me. If that's you today, would you along with me, right where you're sitting, raise your hand and let me pray for us all? I see your hands everywhere. Father, thank you. You've spoken to us today. Now, Lord, we want to be candidates for your faith. We want to be candidates for the faith of God. We want to be candidates, Lord, so that you can believe through us to do some mighty things in our lives, some mighty things in our children's lives, our family's life, and in the lives of others. We can move mountains. We can speak to things, and they will obey us. Father, we ask you to help us now in Jesus' name. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. Now, maybe you know you're not where God wants you to be. Now, here's the deal. You see, it's called sin. And what sin does in us is it clouds up the spirit. And we can only really hear the mind. And the mind causes us to sin. It's the carnal nature. What Jesus wants to do, and maybe you received Jesus a long time ago but got away from him, or maybe you've never received him as your Lord and your Savior. But what the Lord is asking you to do today, and what he wants to do today in your life, is do what he calls wash you by the blood of Jesus. And what it does is it washes you from that thinking, from that sin, so that you can hear Him, hear that bam inside of you. And you will be able then to defeat the mind robbing you of life. That's what He wants to do for you. You receive Jesus Christ. You receive what He did for you on the cross, His blood. And it washes you so that you can hear God. If that's you, you know you're not where you need to be with God for whatever reason. Never received Him, or maybe you did receive Him, but you just got away. But you really want to live a dynamic, supernatural life. If that's you, right where you're sitting, would you raise your hand and allow me to pray for you right where you're sitting? Would you raise your hand? See a hand here? Any others? Hold them up and let me just make eye contact with you. Those of you who raised your hand, just look at me. Let me make sure I see you. See you over here, ma'am. See you, sir. See you, ma'am, back in the back. Any others? Any others? Amen. Amen.